Phoneboy Speaks, episode 194, Unicode in the 19th Century. In past episodes, I talked about social networking in earlier times, and I found a book, actually Jonathan Duragon, app.net, had sent me a link to this book called Unicode. And what it is, I'll read the title page from this book. It's a code of cipher words for commercial, domestic, and familiar phrases in ordinary use in inland and foreign telegrams. Now, why might you do this? Well, back in the days of when telegrams were the way that things were communicated, and understand that this was the late 19th century, and you know, telegrams had been in use by that point, but the way that telegrams were charged was by word. And so if you took a very wordy phrase and you sent it out over a telegram, it could cost you a whole lot of money. And you know, so you had to be efficient in your word choices in order to not have to pay an arm and a leg to send a message across the country. And so, this is kind of like the, you know, the 19th century version of, you know, some of the abbreviations that you see in SMS and IM and stuff like that. And you know, for modern times, it's because we don't want to type the letters, not that we can't or that it costs too much money necessarily. But, you know, I guess also for short SMS, again, you have 160 characters. And so to try and say as much as you can in one message, you abbreviate. Well, they did this back in the 19th century with telegrams. And so this is actually an electronic book on Google Play, and you can get it for free because it's public domain, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But again, what they did is they took phrases and they condensed them down to almost Latin words, maybe, or they took something that was not going to be mistaken for something else. So, because that was the other thing, is that, you know, the people that were transmitting these words had to do it. They were doing it in Morse code, and they had to be able to do it without error. And so they picked words that were not going to be mistaken for something else. And so there's this whole phrase book of just words. And let me I'll read a couple of examples from the book so you can see. These are a list of phrases that relate to arrangement. So the arrangement has been made shortens to agitator. Well, that's actually a modern word. Maybe that's not a great example, but maybe it wasn't used back then. Arrangement has fallen through is agnascor. Arrangement still under discussion, agnastio. Can you come to any arrangement? Agnos. Can made some definitive arrangement? Agnosco. What arrangement did you propose? Agnovi. What arrangement is come to? Agrarius. Anyway, you get the idea, right? So you're taking phrases and compressing them into these words that that are meaningful to people that are transmitting telegrams, because basically for this to work, both ends of the telegram have to be able to agree to these words, and so therefore when they're encoded this way, the other end, when they see that word, they go, oh, this is a word that is related to Unicode. And so the transcription would be done by hand rather than a computer doing it. But you know, think of it this way, right? I mean, there's also, you know, in modern day, right, with all the different acronyms that float around with, you know, with IM and stuff. Think of LOL, right, which means laugh out loud. But somebody said, or somebody used it to mean lots of love, right? If people don't agree on the shorthand for phrases, there could be lots of misunderstandings. And in telegrams, that was not, as I say, that the telegraph lines were not something that like most people could use directly. They had to do it through a telegram operator. So, and transmitting messages, and you know, you had to be able to understand. And so they wanted to ensure that things were understood. And so they had to come to agreements and have these books out. So it is interesting that a lot of the stuff that we think is new and new phenomena, as we dig back through history, it's actually not really that new. And I'm willing to bet that this is not the first occurrence of this kind of phrase shortening that has occurred. I bet if you dig back through history even more, you'll find people have been using shorthand when transmitting or communicating over distances for a long time. And
thank you for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. You can find all of the past episodes, all of the ways to subscribe to the podcast, and all of the ways to contact me on the web at phoneboyspeaks.phoneboy.com.